Reignite on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Now, one team that clearly doesn't have a problem doing what they said they would do is Food Cloud, a tech-based, non-profit, social enterprise voted Irish Charity of the Year last year, founded by two Irish women who share a vision for a world where no good food goes to waste. The charity is now bringing its solution global. Sheena Ford, Director of Partnerships for Food Cloud, joins me now. Sheena, explain the problem that Food Cloud is trying to solve.
Hi, good morning, Anya. Yeah, it's a twofold problem, really. I mean, the problem is one on the climate side and the other is on a lack of sufficient food for people. And really the problem we're trying to solve is that of perfectly good food going in the bin. I mean, it's estimated, for example, that worldwide that 40% of product that is actually made or grown never makes it to the consumer, never actually gets eaten. So that's a huge problem. It's a huge problem in terms of the creation, obviously, of greenhouse gases. Something like 39% of the greenhouse gases globally are contributed by food systems. And of that, about 8 to 10% are contributed by food waste, so food that just goes in the bin. Also, with the problem at the same time of people not having sufficient to eat. The Department of Social Protection, a report in 2021, estimated that 1 in 11 people in Ireland are in food insecurity. They don't have sufficient access, and they don't know when their next nutritious meal is going to come. So that's a huge issue within Ireland alone. And then if you look globally, there's something like 783 million people living in food insecurity. And by 2030, it is estimated that 600 million people worldwide would be chronically undernourished, where on the other hand, as I say, 40% of food is being thrown away.
There's food waste, but you often think about food surpluses. So how do you define that? And who are the people that you work with to basically gather the surplus food and be able to redistribute it to those in need?
We much prefer to talk about food surplus because this is all perfectly good food as opposed to food waste, which implies that the food is inedible, that the food isn't fit, it would create a negative impact. And what we're talking about is perfectly good food that maybe isn't a perfectly straight carrot, or it maybe isn't a perfectly scarless apple, but it is perfectly safe. And that's what we mean by food surplus, is food that could be consumed where it presented to people in need of that food. So the people that we work with, if we look within Ireland, first of all, we're both a food bank within Ireland, where we work with 600 to 700 community voluntary organisations, rehabilitation centres, to centres for the elderly, to youth centres, areas where people convene and they need food, and perhaps it might be the only square meal that they get of a day is coming from this community voluntary organisation. So on the one hand, they are the people who receive the food that we get either through our hubs, or the other side of that is we have an application which we call Foodiverse. So that's both a mobile application and a web application that our food donors liaises with them. It connects them directly with the community voluntary organisations in their local area. The donor says, I've got food on the app, and the recipient, the community voluntary organisation, says, I will collect that food. I want to get that food. So on a daily basis, the donors, who are the large supermarket chains within Ireland, we're also working with a number of food service and restaurants. So anyone with perfectly good food gets connected with the community voluntary organisation. We've moved over 93,000 tonnes of food. So that's food that would otherwise, prior to food, over the period since we started in 2013, that represents over 300,000 tonnes of greenhouse gases, and it represents over 220 million meals. We saw a huge increase over COVID. We thought that was COVID related, and we assumed that the demand would go down following from COVID. That hasn't been the case. We've actually seen the demand continue to ramp up, and we've had our highest year ever in 2022, and on track, we're in 15% growth this year, on track to have our highest year ever in 2023. So that demonstrates to us the growing need within Ireland, and And then if we talk globally, we've worked for many years in partnership with Fairshare in the UK. So they provide the liaison with the charities and we provide the technology to the UK market. So we've got a huge market dealing with all of the big retailers with Fairshare in the UK. And then outside of that, we work with Tesco in Central Europe and working with them in the Czech Republic and in Slovakia. That again, a growing demand there from all corners of those markets. The key thing we believe that sets us apart is that we started as a food bank. So we know what it's like to be a food bank. We know what it's like to start with having to do phone calls, take Excel spreadsheets, to do, to drive vans from one end of Ireland to the other delivering food. So we know intimately the problems that a food bank faces and the need that's there for the food banks. And our founders and everyone with Food Cloud feels very passionately about the need to eliminate the surplus food and to put it where it will do good, where it will really make differences to people's lives. And one of the things that we really pride ourselves on is the robustness of our reporting, because we all know, we've all heard about greenwashing, and we are very, very keen that we have robust data. It's really important to us that our data is very reliable, is trustworthy. We know exactly where it's come from. So we can give any of our donors or any of our charity voluntary organisations the data of how much food they have redistributed, how many meals that represents, how much CO2 avoidance that represents. So that enables those donors, in terms of their ESG reporting, enables them to hand on heart stand by those numbers and have something that's very quantifiable and provable, which is a huge move on from, as I say, pen and paper back 13 years ago when we started.
What are some of the considerations, though, that you have to take into play? Because this is a different part of the world. There's different cultural sensitivities. There's going to be different nuances. What's been some of the learnings along the way of, you can take something, but it has to adapt to the particular market?
Moving into Kenya, where it's a very exciting phase, we're now moving into the ramping up to pilot phase with the Kenyan team. We've worked very closely with Global Food Banking Network. They're our partners. So they set up the incubator food bank within Kenya, and they have grown the Kenyan food bank. And we're also very grateful to the Department of Foreign Affairs, to Irish Aid, for the grant that they've given us to be able to do this work within Kenya. The first thing in Kenya really is that we're saving lives. You know, in Ireland we're improving people's lives, we're making things better for people, but there's the real capacity in Kenya to save lives, because they have something like 55 million people living in Kenya, and of that over 29% of them are in danger of serious malnutrition, and they just don't have enough to eat. But within the regions in Kenya, so if you look at the desert regions in the south of Kenya, they're in a much worse position than the cities in the north of Kenya, for example. So it's actually a much higher figure than that, and particularly in seasons like last year when there's very little rain. We will fund a project manager within Kenya, so a Kenyan project manager, to run the project from their point of view, so that we're not telling them what to do. We're asking them, what do you need? What needs to work for you? So there are considerations like, in Kenya, many of the donors are suspicious that perhaps the food will be sold in the black market. They're not as trusting as your donors might be in Western Europe. We've got an application where the donor signs to say they've given the food and where the recipient signs to say they've received the food. And that's something that's very welcomed by donors in countries where trust is maybe not, they don't have the same systems and processes as we would have. The second thing, obviously, is food safety. The climate, it can be extremely warm. They may not have the same access to chilled distribution as we would have here. So is making sure, is working with the food bank to make sure that they've got those processes in place, that the charitable organisations they're working with are able to handle the food that they're receiving from the donors. There isn't a culture of food banking, believe it or not, in Africa, in any of the countries in Africa, and certainly not in Kenya. So this is a relatively new thing for them. And going and asking donors to give them food is a new thing as well. So it's working with them and saying and encouraging them to have those conversations with the donors. Many of the donors, for example, Carrefour works out of Kenya. They have European arms. It's something that's established for them in Western Europe, but not in their African arm. So it's encouraging them to have those conversations and guiding them and having those conversations with donors and potential donors.
Just finally, you left the commercial world that is driven by levels of profitability. What drives that now, day to day, for you to do what you do?
Whether you call it fortunate or unfortunate, I have no financial dependence any longer. So for me, the leaving behind the big car and the bigger pension and the bonuses was a relatively easy decision. I got to a stage in my personal life where I wanted to do something different, to leave a legacy of improvement behind. And while I loved the commercial world and I had many, many years of enjoyment with large players in that market, this is just a different buzz. The fact that everybody is in it together, the people in Food Cloud live the values of Food Cloud, and among those is kindness. How many commercial companies have kindness as one of their values? But they're kind without being soft. We are doers, we deliver, and you've seen what Eivan and Islet, our founders, have delivered over the last 13 years. It's not just about being kind and respectful, it's about actually doing, understanding what the problem is and delivering on it. I'm working as hard as I've ever worked, so it's not like it's a soft living, but I'm driven to deliver because we are making a difference. And we have seen, even in the 18 months that I've been with Food Cloud, we've seen an enormous growth in the amount of food that we're redistributing and therefore the number of lives that we're managing to alter.
It's an incredibly inspirational and impactful lesson and journey for Food Cloud and for you. So continued good fortune to you, Sheena Ford of Food Cloud. Thank you for joining us on Reignite.
Thank you very much, Anya.